to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, as usual, Jessica Park. Hi,
hello.
Jessica.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I ran into you this weekend out at the bars. I was DDing for one of my best friends.
And I was doing the same.
Trash. I did British Hockey Bars, which was a lot of fun. But doing anything else this weekend? It was a really gloomy weekend.
It was a pretty rough weekend. That same day that I saw you, my husband actually had a six-hour mountain bike race during that absolute rainy downpour of a day. So.
Well, he looked great, so he didn't injure himself.
He didn't injure himself, no. No, but he didn't ask me to go with him this time either. With 90% chance of rain, I don't think he could feel right about asking me to go.
Exactly.
So we have awesome guests in the studio today.
We have amazing guests
and
here.
I think most of them are radio veterans, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yes. They all have...
That's a first.
Yeah, it is a first.
We'll let them do the show then. We'll just go take a lunch break.
Well, we have Anna Stevens with EQ for Success, and we have Allison Cohen and Allison Friedman and Ann Cohen of PWG and Bob Doyle.
I think I've heard of him before. So.
Yeah. And we're going to start with Anna.
Anna, welcome to the show. Obviously, this isn't the first time I've interviewed you, or you've been on at least four Business Radio X shows, I believe.
I think this is my eighth.
Your eighth?
Or my seventh.
You must be an addict. It's either the mugs or...
Well, good morning, everybody, first of all. And I can't hide my love to the Atlanta Business Radio X. You guys add great value, and I said it multiple times, and I will keep repeating it. I'm definitely your fan. Jessica, no problem. You can call me Ann. You can call me Anna, Anya, Anna. People call me whatever they feel like. Never upsets me, so no problem at all. But thanks so much for having me back.
No problem. I always like to start out. You have one of the most amazing stories. I love your story. Can you just go into your background a little bit?
Absolutely. Wow, you do want to do me to do the work for you. All right.
Exactly.
Well, so my name is Anna Stevens, and you probably know me, guys, who's listening, as the emotional intelligence maven. And if you watched my story on WSB TV, or you're following me on Twitter at EQ for Success, or maybe at Smart Goals Book, you know that 4 years ago, I was homeless here in Atlanta in one of the shelters for victims of domestic violence, and I spoke no English. I immigrated from Russia back in 2008, and I was married to Prince Charming, my Mr. Right, who somehow turned into a very abusive man. And of course, after my four police reports, I was forced to run away, and police took me to the shelter, where I was basically faced with the situation where I was in a foreign country, not speaking the language, not knowing even one soul. And I was lost and very confused in my mind. I really didn't know who I was at that point, because in Russia, I was a somebody. I had a very good educational background. I have a JD degree in law, doctor degree in law, and I have a bachelor degree in business administration. Mm-hmm. By my first education, I'm an elementary school teacher, so I had a very extensive professional background. And so here I am, homeless, hopeless, helpless. And of course, what I realized, I rebuilt my life and I restored myself, and I did it through the power of my mind and through the system of SMART goals: specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time-bound. Mm. And I have been teaching the system to people all around Atlanta, and I've performed several workshops online as well. And then I decided to put together a book, because everybody was asking, so how did you do it? How can you go from homeless, hopeless, helpless, a desperate person to somebody who actually built something out of themselves in a foreign country? I taught myself English in 1.5 years. I enrolled, I prepared myself for an academic English test. I passed mm-hmm. it with a high score. I was accepted to Georgia State University Professional MBA, and I'm graduating this Saturday.
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't you, aren't you going there for free? You're like, you guys want me a part of your program, or is that true?
I'm not going there for free. It's a very expensive program, but I did get several scholarships.
Yes.
For which I'm very thankful. Yeah. So this story has been covered in several magazines and on TV, and I see my life mission as inspiring and empowering people to use the asset that they have for free, that is giving to them at their birth, and that is the power of their mind.
Exactly.
So that's what my new book is about, and I would like to invite everybody who is listening right now and all of you guys to celebrate my book and my story. Tomorrow, May 9th, is the Victory Day in Russia, and it's a victory that we're going to celebrate. The victory of the power of mind and the victory of smart goals. And so tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the Atlanta Technical College Conference Center, we will be holding my book launch party. And our dear friend Jessica Park is going to be our host. And I also would like to give you guys the address. So grab a pen and paper real quick and write it down. It is 1560, so it's 1560, Metropolitan Parkway. It's Atlanta Technical College Conference Center, free parking, free wine, free food, free fun. It's going to be a great event, and we will be showing a movie about my book, a little movie. So I actually brought a book for you guys, and I would like to leave it here for the Atlanta Business Radio X. And, of course, I brought a signed copy for Jessica.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
And let me just use one quick second and thank all the people who helped me make this event possible. And these are Felicia Phillips, Atlanta's and Georgia's sustainability guru from H3O Eco Magazine, Lori Sosa, the barter queen from Southern Barter Club, Anna Rumyantseva and Tabi Roybal. They help create family memories with their business called ATRpictures.com, and also World Trade Center in Lilia Pastelacci and iTunes Karaoke, who will be providing free wine for everybody.
Speaking
tomorrow.
Speaking of iTunes Karaoke, I know the owners personally, and I go there all the time.
Martin Chan.
Yes.
Yeah, I live in his condo in Buckhead.
Okay, that's very interesting. I've known him for years. He's very interesting fellow. So.
He's super cute. He came to my home to bring me a key for mailbox because they change our mailboxes. And he saw the book, and I was cooking chicken. He's like, "Oh, tell me about the book." And I'm like, "Oh, here's the book launch party." And he's like, "Oh, I'll be sponsoring wine." Yeah, I'm like, "Cool, cool beans."
Nice,
awesome.
So, from concept development to the book launch, how long of a process was it?
Frankly speaking, this book is a lifelong journey. What I realized, Jessica, I was always a very angry person because not only did I go through the abuse here in this country, but actually I've chosen the man because of how my brain was set up from the birth. And I was raised in a family of alcoholics, very abusive people by a single mother, you know, people who rejected, hated me, and I was always a very angry girl. So the book is the product of multiple journals, multiple journeys. And I can say that I wrote the book maybe in a month, but the material that is in the book has been collected within my lifetime.
Wow.
I started my first journal when I was 12 years old, and I realized, you know, now that spiritual gifts come wrapped in adversity. And I always say it, and I know you heard it during my workshop at Kansas State University Executive MBA. I realized that, are you happy with yourself? Yes, I am. I like myself. I like my life. I love my husband. I love my friends. I love what I do. I like my business. Well, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a gift? Oh, heck yeah. Then you got to take some adversity, because through adversity, I believe we're growing, we gain our wisdom, and I believe there is no other way to gain it. So now I let go of anger and hater. And, you know, when you feel sorry for yourself, why me? This is not applicable to me anymore. Now I understand the meaning of all the circumstances I was put through during my lifetime. And tomorrow I will be presenting the movie where I speak about the book and how it was actually born. So it will be a kind of movie, and all other people will be speaking about it as well. And I thank you so much for hosting the event tomorrow. And again, everybody, come tomorrow to the free event at the Atlantic Technical College Conference Center, and it's a book launch of the book that is called Turn Your Dreams and Wants into Achievable SMART Goals. It's a comprehensive manual on effective goal setting for entrepreneurs, managers, and parents. And I'm Anna Stevens. Check me out at SMART Goals Book on Twitter.
Well, thank you so much, Anna. Before we wrap up real fast, I want you to talk about one term I absolutely love, emotional intelligence. Just explain to our listeners what it is. It's so cool. So
emotional intelligence, and you can, when you Google it, you can Google it as EQ or EI. Emotional intelligence is your ability to understand how your emotions affect your behaviors and your actions and also interactions with others. And once you become self-aware of it, then there is something you can do. And our emotional intelligence is built out of 15 components, and 15 sub-components. And you can find all the information about it on my website that is called EQforSuccess.com. EQforSuccess.com. And there is also a model that you can download. And also there is a sample test that you can download, 21-page report, and you can see if you take the most valid and reliable emotional intelligence assessment in the world that is called EQI 2.0 on my website, you will get 21 pages report on who you are, what you like, what you dislike, what your strengths and I don't say weaknesses, I say areas for development are. So emotional intelligence is the core competency that determines how well we interact with other people, but also with ourselves.
Well, I think you touched on it, but you have your workshop, Turn Your Business Dreams into Profitable Reality. You and I are partnering again for that project May 28th. Did you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well,
I know you're excited. You can't even...
Don't tell anybody. This is a big secret. Yes, so Jessica and I have been thinking about working together, and so we came up with this cool idea to host a workshop at 200 Peachtree on May 28th. Okay, May 28th. It will be at 9:30 a.m., 3-hour workshop, where you can come and you can learn, first of all, about yourself. And secondly, you can learn about how to actually turn your business dreams and wants into profitable reality. And it will not be a talent cell presentation. It will be an interactive, engaging workshop where you'll be working with templates and questions, and there will be group exercises, very thought-provoking discussions. And so you will walk away with many aha moments and actual steps that you can take right away to turn your business dreams into profitable reality.
Yeah, I attended her workshop, and I came away with a lot of value from it. And just in the aspect of physically writing the goal down that you need to achieve and writing it in a way that it's attainable by, you know, not having some really lofty or vague goal written down, you are more likely to achieve your goals.
So when the lottery is not a good one.
Right, exactly. take over the world. Yeah, that's probably not going to work.
Well, you can actually set a goal like this, but there are several steps with several probabilities that you need to take on a regular basis in order to make this possible, probably.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to talk about that because I do want to win the lottery.
So. Yeah. Oh, I do too. Trust me.
Well, thank you so much for being on, Anna, as usual.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Next up on Meeting Pros, we have Bob Doyle with Boundless Living, Inc. You may have heard of his name before, but he was part of The Secret. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, thanks. I love being here.
All right. Well, first of all, just get it out of the way. Tell us your role in The Secret, because it was an awesome movie, also a good book. So
thank you. Well, I was just one of the many teachers that was featured in there, and I think that my role in that film, I started teaching the Law of Attraction several years before the film came out, and my approach was always very, as much science as I could bring into it. You know, I was not although I embrace the woo-woo, you know.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
Not my, that
I grew
was
up
not
around
how
my stepmom was the same way.
So that, but that wasn't how I needed to interface with people. I needed to reach the people who were like me, who loved to believe this kind of thing, but mm-hmm. needed some sort of science around
Definitely.
It. So that was my approach. And so I think that, you know, in terms of being in The Secret, that's kind of who I was in that film. Just an everyday, normal guy. No, I don't think many people had heard of me or anything. I didn't have a huge
yeah.
presence. I mean, I had been, you know, I had students in my program, but obviously The Secret changed mm-hmm. everything.
Well, because you were doing the Law of Attraction before that, it brought some just legitimacy to you and The Secret, definitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think... It was the perfect thing to show up in my life, and it was, you know, people ask me how I ended up in that, and it was a true Law of Attraction story, although it wasn't, I wasn't sitting there making a goal about, well, I want to be in a film about the Law of Attraction that's going to, you know, but I did have a very strong vision of getting this message out to as many open minds as possible, and that was Rhonda Byrne's vision as well, so we mm-hmm. were very much in alignment.
Well, can you just speak real fast for anyone that hasn't seen The Secret or read the book? There aren't many, but what the Law of Attraction
is. Oh, there's
is.
Plenty, believe me. I live in this bubble, you know, but you go out in the world and well, it's really not as out there as you think. But Law of Attraction, I describe it very differently than most people. You know, they'll say things like attracts like and make it very simple and digestible, but mm-hmm. I don't do it that way because there's too many gaps in that explanation. But in essence, without getting into a full explanation, it just explains, for the purposes of a personal development conversation, it just explains how things come in and out of our lives. And how we can be more intentional about that. How can mm-hmm. we bring yeah. that? How can we create the experience of our reality? That's the basics of what people are teaching when they're talking about the Law of Attraction.
Okay, cool. Well, you're working on something new right now, aren't you?
Yeah, so I've been, you know, it's really an interesting time in my life right now. And I'm just starting to come out with this because it's really personal stuff.
Definitely.
And, but the past few years of my life have been very chaotic, a lot of tumultuous stuff. Sharing that, you know, the status of my marriage has changed, mm-hmm. and my business the past few years has been very difficult for me because I was carrying around a lot of stuff personally that was, you know, affecting my ability to feel congruent with what I was doing. You know, I was out there teaching people that they could create their lives by design and all of this stuff, but my life, parts of my life were falling apart. And from the outside, looking in, it's like, well, what's the deal, Law of Attraction guy? What's, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But really, it was showing up perfectly, given what was going on inside me. Energetically, mm-hmm. I was a complete mess.
Yeah.
And that's what was showing up in my life, and I felt like my business was dying on the vine. I wasn't happy personally. It was just, you know.
Yeah.
It was, everything was really falling apart. And it kind of came to a head. I mean, again, from the outside looking in, I hit it as well as I could. But then I just decided I can't hide it anymore because it's not working for me. And if I'm going to be in integrity, I have to start, you know, I really have to start claiming what I truly want in my life and do the things that I know I need to do, and which meant stepping through some very scary actions.
I can imagine.
Like, you know, leaving a 24-year marriage. That's big.
Yeah, that's
with
huge.
Three kids, and there was a lot of fear around that, and I stayed stuck in that for a long time. And all the fears that I had around that happened. You know, it's been a really wild year. But to answer your question, so what am I doing now? What I really got clear on was that what, you know, I was asking people for help. Like, I don't know what to do with my business. This isn't working anymore. I don't feel it anymore like mm-hmm. I used
yeah,
to.
Yeah, definitely.
And I had one brilliant guy just say, you know, it's right in front of you. You know, what are you going through right now? And he just found the word reinvention.
I love that word.
Which isn't new by
any
stretch. Lots of people in this conversation, but it was so clear that, yes, every aspect of my life, personal, professional, physical, location, I'm making a cross-country move in like a month.
Wow.
Everything's changing.
Yeah.
And I, as I've always done in all of my career since I became an entrepreneur, it's always been sharing what I'm learning in my own personal experience with others and helping them facilitate that. And I'm in a very unique position to be able to do that for other people because I've been facilitating that kind of transformation in the lives of people for a really long time.
Yeah.
But now taking it on personally and really sharing what's going on with me and really being committed to connecting to people from a heart space. I've had some very profound shifts mm-hmm. from getting out of my head and into my heart recently and really reconnecting with my spiritual nature. And all this stuff that I kind of, you know, it was there. I acknowledged it, but wasn't really living it. And mm-hmm. it's been a tremendous journey the past year.
Well, I can imagine with all that transparency on yourself that it really reaches your audience, and they can really, really buy into it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where for years, I guess, I felt like it was too much of a professional risk to say, hey, it's not working for me, you know. But then I realized this is the only way, mm-hmm. you know, it's the only way. And so to shift now my focus on helping other people facilitate their professional and personal reinvention is such a great fit. It feels good from head to toe, which I hadn't had that feeling in a long time. I'm very clear that I can do it because I have been doing it, but now to be more forward-facing with that. Because quite frankly, as much as we all here may understand the law of attraction and get it and all of that, there's a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of confusion, and a lot of people trying it, quote-unquote, not getting results, and the conversation's kind of worn out. You know,
definitely.
So it's difficult to go to the marketplace with law of attraction. Plus, I wasn't feeling it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's still always going to be a part of what I do. You can't get around it.
It's definitely.
To have
a lifestyle.
You know, it's a lot what Anna was saying, you know, this emotional intelligence, emotions, it's huge. So it's definitely at play. And it will be in part of everything I do, but it just won't be law of attraction guy. Like, I've been Bob Doyle from The Secret,
mm-hmm.
right, for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And I'm very grateful, no question, for the opportunity. But what about Bob Doyle, the ukulele player? You know, what about Bob Doyle, the photographer? What about, yeah. you know, and that person just got lost.
Your identity.
And everybody needs to, we all have this innate desire to be who we are out in the world. And so part of my, you know, reinvention focus is helping people who are feeling like, wow, how did I get here? And then where do I want to be and get them there?
Definitely. How does someone know that they need to be part of the reinvention process? Because I can imagine someone being like, oh, I need to reinvent myself. Let me get a Corvette, a trophy wife. I'm 50. So
yeah.
it's more of a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Well, you'll know. I mean, you'll know because, like in my case, and a lot of I've interviewed a lot of people now about their personal reinvention. And it's you know, some of the symptoms are that just stress, that feeling of there's got to be something more. But also, in, like in my case, things just weren't – things that used to work aren't working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I would try to fix those broken things, the worse it got. And so that's the real distinction here with reinvention, is it's not about fixing the broken stuff. It's about
yeah.
allowing yourself to start with a clean slate and say, you know what, if I just started from scratch right now, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And to not let any of the past experiences or any of that feed that vision. What's truly in your heart to do, no matter what you've done, no matter how many years you've spent doing something else, allowing yourself to create a new vision for yourself that is truly who you are. Because really, I think what's happened is most of us have spent our lives de-inventing ourselves, you know.
Definitely.
We were born with something to do, and then we went down this track of education or whatever, how it's supposed to be. We find ourselves in a career 15 years down the road.
That's
and go,
how you define yourself.
Yeah, and, yeah. right. And but there's a conflict. It's always there. And mm-hmm. the more you spend time doing and being something that you know that you're not, the worse you feel. And it's a critical thing because some people just resign themselves to the fact that I'm just going to have to do this. It's too late. And what I'm trying to do is say, no, it is not too late. You know, it can be scary, but it's not too late.
So why do you think this is going on? Why are people going through this? Is it a society thing? Is it a very normal thing as you grow older just to happen? Or?
Well, I mean, first of all, like I said before, we're just trained this way. We're not really trained to live our passions. We're trained to, you know, be interested in something and maybe get a degree in this area. But it's not really, we're not empowered, especially, you know, as kids or whatever. We have no choice as to how we go. There's that direction. And then, you know, you face the current economic situation and people are just panicking financially and they go, I need a change.
Yeah.
a change. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I have Anna waving her hand over
here.
So I have to let her.
Well, I must admit that yesterday I spent about an hour researching Bob and looking at his LinkedIn profile, watching some of his YouTube videos. And when you watch his video, that's the first video, I think, when you enter his YouTube channel, you will see him in a robe on the back porch of his house where he is with his dog playing his favorite instrument. And I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my goodness. And the more I'm going to be with this guy who is just so confident, so fulfilled, seems like he knows exactly what he's doing in his life. And you know what? I can tell you that being here in this room, seeing you and hearing what you say, I admire you so much.
Thank you.
Very often, not very often, but 99% of the time, people are unable, they're incapable of saying, what I'm doing is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure where I'm going. I don't really know who I am. people can't do this. I don't know why, but they feel like it will be a failure. And I admire you so much for actually confessing this right now and sharing this experience with us, because I feel like you already allowed me to look inside your heart, and I've learned just in this few minutes more about you that I've learned in an hour doing online research.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for
transparency
saying that. I really appreciate that feedback. And it's very similar to the feedback that I'm getting in general since I first started coming out with this just a few weeks ago. Very scary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just a few weeks ago that I started really sharing this. And, you know, the response has been great, and people really relate. There's a lot of me out there, you know, that people
definitely.
In this situation, mm-hmm. both in the marriage situation, career situation, all sorts of people are in need of reinvention.
Definitely.
And to giving them, so I'm really about creating a safe space for people to do that. You know, and so I've got a new program around it. I've got this Facebook group around it where people are just really sharing themselves and really putting themselves out there and going, oh, my God, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm,
and already, you know, it can happen. Transformation can happen really, really quick in the right environment. It doesn't have to take years and years.
It's just got to be a safe environment.
It can take one decision that changes the whole path.
Yeah,
ultimately.
If it's the right decision and hits you on the right level. But then there's also that having support. Mm-hmm. is huge because, you know, it's like you said, people will judge you. You're afraid of people who will judge you. And you're surrounded by all the people in your life based on who you've been. Well, if you decide you want to become somebody else, there's no guarantee those people are going to jump right on board. They may very well reject it. And there may be huge issues in that. And if you don't have a support system or some kind of, like, you know, a path to follow, it's way too easy just to crumble back and go, okay, I'm not mm-hmm. going to do this. And I did that for years. Mm-hmm. And every time I did it, it was just, I felt more and more like I was just dying and defeated mm-hmm. and just like I'm just completely losing myself.
Definitely.
You know,
the fear.
What you said, Bob, is that you may not get support of people who are maybe your immediate family. But what's more important is that I'm listening to you now and I hear that you have gone through a not self-discovery, but rediscovery process. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, what about me, Bob, as playing instrument, Bob as doing this and this. And I think it's very important to be liked by friends and family. But if it's whether you like yourself or they like you, I think you should always choose yourself. And I'm so mm-hmm. glad I'm hearing that mm-hmm. you have chosen yourself. And by the way, tomorrow at my book launch, there will be Mike Carr playing that instrument.
Playing the uke?
Yes, he will be playing it for the rest of the evening after we show the movie. And we're going through. So you should come there because you'll enjoy. And he'll play country and he'll play Frank Sinatra. He'll be singing. It will be, that's why I watched your video. Yes.
Because I like to play Frank on the uke too. It's very...
Maybe you can do it tomorrow too. Maybe you can play one song for me tomorrow. So definitely come over.
Bob, what else are you doing to help people approach this reinvention for themselves?
Well, so I said I've got this mm-hmm. new program, online program, but I'm really committed to not hiding behind the internet as much.
Okay.
I mean, it's a great way to disseminate information, and I will probably always use it.
Yes.
But what I'm really, one of the things that's opened up for me just in the reconnection to my own heart and people is how I love being with people. I love just eye contact and bringing you in and feeling you. You know, mm-hmm. and I can't do that over online. I can do videos and things. So doing live things, getting with people, and not really just talking at them, but really interacting.
Yeah.
And so tonight, because now is a good time to talk about
definitely.
Tonight.
Okay.
This is last minute, but so tonight at 200 Peachtree, which is apparently the favorite place.
Favorite place in Atlanta.
Yeah. So I just learned about it. Doing an event on. This reinvention process.
Awesome.
So it's from 7 to 10, registration at 6:30. But it's really, I mean, I'll share my story. I will do some talking at, you know,
yes.
I will. But then it's really more conversational. I want people to be able to, you know, again, create a safe space where people can share what they're up to, where they might need help in the reinvention process if they're clear they need that. Helping people to create that vision, because some people just don't even know where to start. It's like, I know I need something, but I don't know what. You know, they're so disconnected from their sense of passion. So really just having, so it'll really be some coaching, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in involvement from people. I've got some people actually coming in who I interviewed for this online program that isn't really officially launched yet. I launched it last week for an exclusive group, and it'll be available tonight as well, but somebody I interviewed has an amazing reinvention story. So it's really going to be an interactive, you know, experiential it should be very, it should be really moving for people, you know, because when you hear people share what's going on for them in an honest way, you really connect. You want to you want to support them. You feel supported. And what the goal of tonight is, and it's free, is to give people, you know, a specific system, if you will, for approaching a successful reinvention.
Definitely.
Starting from the beginning of feeling lost to actually seeing it start to happen. And I'm using principles that I've been teaching for a while, but also new stuff, especially moving from this head space to the heart space, getting people, instead of thinking up here about what they want, really feeling it here.
Well, I absolutely love that. How else, other than everyone coming tonight, can people reach out, learn more about this, get in touch with you, and really...
Okay, so the website is The Bob Doyle, as opposed to, you know, just some random Bob Doyle. TheBobDoyle.com. And that's the sign up for the thing tonight. But I'm also on that page for people who are interested. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, giving away an audio meditation. It's one of those things that I've done for a long time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's called the Passion Meditation. And it helps people who are feeling disconnected from their passion to reconnect, to get a sense of what they're really about, where they want to go. And meditation may seem a little woo-woo for some people, but
Definitely.
It's really a great practice for anybody of any
Definitely.
Background to get into. So they can get that for free just by going to that same site, thebobdoyle.com, and just clicking the link if they can't make it tonight or whatever. But if they make it tonight,
Definitely.
That's awesome.
Well, I completely agree with you about meditation. It's just a great mental practice for any kind of focus or anything.
Mental, so. Spiritual, emotional, for vision.
Right. You sports,
know,
anything.
Anything.
Yes, definitely. Well,
I think Anne has a question for Bob.
Ah, yes, go for it.
Let's hear it.
I really admire what you're doing because I think so many people become paralyzed by the fear of separating from what they've known or what they've been instructed to do or how they understand this whole concept of should as opposed to who they are and being true to themselves. And I'm wondering if you could give a piece of advice to people that might be listening who have been, you know, maybe like you said, they don't even know what their passions are anymore. They've become so disconnected from finding their inner happiness by staying too focused on external goals or external objectives or the weight of needing to be able to provide for themselves or provide for a family, that the thought of abandoning some of that security is something that they maybe have never entertained, or maybe they haven't, they're writing it in a journal somewhere, but they haven't come to a point where they feel secure or confident enough to be able to take that plunge and kind of get away from that I'm so overwhelmed and don't know how to do this feeling, or being completely paralyzed by the fear of if I take this leap, what's not knowing what the outcome is going to be. It takes a really amazing amount of strength and courage to be able to go after that with confidence and with the right kind of ambition that you don't get derailed or depressed or anything.
So paralyzed with fear is exactly what I was. So I know what those people are thinking. But one of the things that, you know, you use the term, you take that leap and all of that, which is certainly how I did it. That's how I do my life. It's like I have to hit total rock bottom before I'll move. But the thing is, it does not have to be that way. They don't have to take a leap. They can continue doing what they're doing, but at least start to take a journey down this other path, to begin in the background, to get clear, just to have fun creating a vision, like really have fun with it. Instead of shifting, you know, take their attention from what they don't like and all, this is basic law of attraction stuff, right? Instead of looking at everything that's not working, really allow themselves to play with, well, what could it be like? You know, what if money wasn't an issue? What if I didn't have fear? If I wasn't scared, you know, what would I be doing? And allow themselves to start playing with that vision on paper or in a journal or whatever, and not just like a, boy, I wish I could have this, but really get into the experience, the emotional experience of it being a reality.
Employing their imagination.
And what will happen there, so much will happen. If they just that one shift from, I wish I could have this, but it'll never happen, to, I'm just going to allow myself to have this experience. That's when the law of attraction kicks in, and your intuition will begin to give you ideas, and as long as you act on them, you know, you're going to start moving in that direction. And then then it doesn't become so scary because you start to see evidence that, hey, I could actually do this, you know. And if you're still doing something you don't like, you just are grateful for that because it's allowing you to have this dream without it being do or die. I mean, that's a lot of people just say, okay, I got to quit my job and all this, and now they're just in panic mode, and I'm not recommending that. I did that,
definitely.
But I don't recommend it.
Really? Well, you guys were just hearing from Ann Cohen, and last but not least on the show, definitely, we have Ann Cohen and Allison Friedman with The Perfect Wedding Guide. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
I have to correct that, actually. It's actually Allison Silverman and Ann Cohen.
She told
me. The Perfect Wedding Guide. I know. I had it right in the green room. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. All right. Well, I apologize. Well, tell us a little bit about The Perfect Wedding Guide.
So The Perfect Wedding Guide has actually been around for 25 years. They were truly a pioneer in the wedding industry for the concept of connecting brides to businesses on a platform outside of just word of mouth. We've seen a lot of explosion in the last 10 to 15 years from The Knot and Martha Stewart Weddings and Wedding Wire, but for a really long time, print publications in the industry were really the only option. Perfect Wedding Guide came around and, like I said, has been around for 25 years. We're in 50 different markets across the country, and we work off of a five-platform organization. So we provide, if you're looking at marketing as a whole for a business in the industry, there's a lot of different ways to get your name out there. There's a lot of different ways to connect with the brides you're going after, the grooms you're going after. And it's important to have your toe in a lot of different pools, because most of the time, if you just stick to one thing, then you're really missing out on how to increase your reach. For example, just relying on word of mouth, if one of your contacts in word of mouth that's providing 30% of your business moves away, then you've automatically lost a third of your business. So what we do with Perfect Wedding Guide is we produce bridal shows. We publish a resource publication 3 times a year that goes directly into the hands of brides. We do about 15 to 20,000 copies with each edition. We produce networking events with educational components for how to improve your business, how to connect with brides, anything from best email practices to social media to any other tools that business vendors may need in the wedding industry. And we have online profiles, as well as we have built an internal mail program that's very similar to a MailChimp or a Constant Contact or something like that, that from a permission-based leads program, we are able to directly connect businesses to brides based on the type of vendor that the bride is looking for.
That is perfect. Do you guys want to talk about the trade shows a little bit, what you guys have there and the different services you offer?
Absolutely. So our bridal shows right now in Atlanta are occurring twice a year. We have an upcoming one on September 22nd at the Marriott in Buckhead. We've switched up the format of the show quite a bit from the more traditional bridal shows that people are used to seeing. We will have stationary models, a tablescape competition, we'll have a cake competition, we'll have a more traditional vendor room. We will also be having a massive couture gown sale. One of our one of our long-term clients, Sweet Elegance Bridal, they do sort of like a running of the bride's Filene's Basement style, except there's no more Filene's, and that term is still trademarked, but we'll be doing something quite like that, where you can truly get those exquisite couture gowns for anywhere from 50 to 80% off.
Wow.
So it's a great opportunity to find that dress, for sure.
That's huge savings.
That's definitely huge for the brides. But also, I always like to point out with these shows that guys don't realize this is a one-stop shop. You go there, you can get all the whole wedding done.
Everything you need.
You go once, it's painless, instead of having to go to a bunch of different meetings.
Something we're actually incorporating into this show is in the lobby of the Marriott Buckhead, there is actually a room where the walls are made of pigskin. And September 22nd, being an NFL Sunday, we are creating a whole groom's lounge down there as well. So for the grooms to be that are journeying to the bridal shows with their brides to be, there will be a place for them to be hanging out and watching football or
watch the Falcons.
Engaging in fantasy football, whatever they need. We'll be doing a lot of giveaways. We have some pretty significant grand prizes, anything from honeymoons to having a photo booth at your wedding to weekend getaways. We'll have, I believe Q100 is going to be there as well. So they'll be bringing a bunch of people. We'll have there's a vendor whose name is Carmelita Light. She owns a company called Lighthouse Cocktails, which she will be setting up in a really awesome mixologist style bar with
cool
fresh ingredients, all natural, all organic, where
alcohol all organic,
combined
natural,
with alcohol.
I love that.
Exactly. So we'll have a lot of different things going on. We're going to have a vendor row, which is a bunch of different breakout rooms. We'll have one room will be a spa room. The Marriott Buckhead will be setting up in one of the rooms, reception style. There'll be other groups of there's like the details event group has different vendors from all different categories that are involved in their group. They can set up in an entire room. So a lot of different options to see and to find the vendors that a bride would need to find.
Awesome.
That's great. What changes can the wedding industry in Atlanta expect to see with Perfect Wedding Guide?
Some of what you can expect to see from Perfect Wedding Guide is for the first time in a long time, we have a market manager in the role of market manager and overseeing the market here. And so taking my knowledge of small business consulting and small business marketing strategy that I've developed in my career over the last 10 to 12 years and really employing that with the clients that we're meeting. A lot of vendors in the wedding industry start a business out of a sense of passion, which is unique mm-hmm. in terms of businesses as
Definitely.
A whole. The other side of that is that it doesn't usually get started with a background in business or a background in marketing or branding or how to position or how to gain market share. Some of those things that a lot of times wedding professionals will cringe at just the sound of some of those phrases. So what we're really working on here is connecting with those vendors to really help them build their business and utilizing the Perfect Wedding Guide tools and platforms as vehicles to achieve their overall business objectives, but also working with them on a larger scale for their business plans and their marketing strategy and how to really achieve what those objectives are. It's something that a lot of times, for example, if you have a bunch of photographers, they aren't quite sure on how to decide how they're different from somebody else.
Because there's so many.
There are.
Right.
Exactly.
And there's a bunch of exquisite photographers out there. And everyone brings something unique to the table. So really working with the business and with the business owner to figure out what specifically sets them apart and how to take that and run with it and make that work for them. We're also some of the changes you'll see from Perfect Wedding Guide is we've switched our networking events from every month to every other month, and we've gone from 3 bridal shows to 2 bridal shows to free up some additional time to really be able to focus on that business consulting aspect of making sure that if people are working with us and marketing themselves and our products, that we're able to help them maximize the benefit of that to achieve their ultimate goals.
Definitely. Well, you guys seem like you really help market the vendors that can't market themselves, just like you said, you show them how to really get out there and get ahead of everybody else.
Absolutely.
That's
our goal.
Definitely. Well, if I'm not mistaken, you are a recent bride yourself.
I am.
I can tell you're a professional. I see the bling. It's a beautiful ring. I noticed when I first saw it, I was like, all right, she knows what she's doing.
Thank you so much. He did well. I got married actually 6 months ago this Friday. So I am still in the newlywed category and, mm-hmm. And I have been in the wedding industry for much longer than I was a bride, in both here and I've covered in New York and I launched a bridal publication in Colorado as well. So I've really been working with this style of business owner for quite some time. And as a recent bride who went through my own challenges with vendors and
Give them some advice.
Yeah.
You know, I think often wedding vendors sometimes will do 10, 20, 50 weddings in a year, and it's easy to forget when you meet with a bride that she's never done this before. Mm-hmm. The likelihood is, unless she's Elizabeth Taylor, she is not a professional bride. She doesn't really know what she's doing. If you ask her if she has a budget, she says yes, but she has no idea how much things actually cost. Mm-hmm. And it's important for the vendor to remember that the majority of brides don't have that I've been dreaming of my wedding since I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't know what the vision of their wedding looks like. They don't even know how big or small or inside or outside, or it's kind of going back to what Bob was saying, connecting the bride back to herself and back to her partnership and the groom together, and having them sit down with the wedding professional and allow the wedding professional, A, to remember that they're doing this for the first time, but also helping to guide them and really determining what's going to be the best expression of them to launch in to the next phase of their life, because this is a starting point.
I think Anna has another question. Yeah. There she is.
I have a question. I finished my last semester at Georgia State University, and we did studies of project management. Then we had one project manager who came, and she does wedding planners and plans. And so what she said is that in the beginning, when she starts working with brides, then they think that's what they want. And then in the middle of the process, when so much invested time, money, energy, effort, they say, well, really, no, that's not what I want. How do you avoid it?
I think it's almost going back to how they market their businesses as well, starting with the legwork, you know, starting the sale of the bride before you even meet with the bride, filling out a questionnaire, having them, you know, if you're talking about flowers, have them send pictures of not just flowers that they like, but the colors that they like. Because if I say purple, all five of us will see purple very differently, and how to get on the same page with all of those variety of vendors and working with all different personalities and all different dynamics. Like when a bride is thinking about a photographer, a lot of times the first thing she's going to ask about is cost. And that's something that vendors come back with, and all they care about is price. Well, that's not all they care about. We've positioned them that way. But if you say to me as a bride, in 50 years, when you look back on your wedding pictures and your grandchildren are sitting in your lap, what moments do you want to see? What parts of your family do you want captured? What essence of this big major life event that is launching you into a whole new phase of your life do you want captured to be able to retell your story? Because these are what you're going to have 50 years mm-hmm. from now. And these are what your grandchildren are going to be able to show their grandchildren 100 years from now. So doing that initial legwork with the bride and groom to be able to really understand and capture who they are and help them think about some of these questions that they don't know to think about these things unless they're asked these questions. So really prompting them to think a little bit deeper to get them away from that price question, because as soon as they say, well, I want to be able to capture X, Y, and Z, they're no longer thinking about price or talking about price. They just want the photographer that's going to be able to do that for them.
Definitely. Great advice.
And also, no matter what their budget is, the first question is always going to be about the cost. And it doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, don't shy away from that question. Don't, you know, get trapped up and, oh, they're going to be, you know, this will be their budget, or they're going to be difficult, or this. No, that's just anyone planning anything wants to know, you know, to learn on their own how to budget everything.
Yeah.
So that's a very, very, very obvious question that everyone will ask.
And,
be prepared.
Going off of that a little bit more, again, that comes down to something that I think is often a misconception is we always hear we want the high-end bride. Which, of course, mm-hmm. everybody wants yeah. the quote-unquote high-end bride. But what does that really mean? In the Atlanta bridal demographics, Atlanta specifically, not even including any of the outskirts, will have between 39 and 40,000 weddings in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Only 7% of those weddings are more than $50,000. So wow. There's about 16, 17% that are under $20,000. So, and the average size is between 130 and 140 people. So you've got nearly 80% of these 39,000 weddings that are happening that are going to be in that $20,000 to $50,000 bracket. And just because somebody's asking price doesn't mean, like Allison said, that they're that they're discounting what you're giving to them. But for example, I had a very extravagant wedding. I will be honest. I was very, very fortunate, and I grew up in a truly amazing community of generosity and family, and everyone really pulled together, and my husband and I had a wedding beyond our wildest imagination, and we would have fell into the category of the quote-unquote high-end bride. We still needed to know how much everything cost.
Mm-hmm, right. Definitely.
And, you know, if depending on how the vendor approached us in terms of trying to determine the things that were most important to us, I think for brides and grooms to sit down and say, here are the top three priorities for what we want about our wedding experience, whether it's, you know, we want the pictures and we want the food and we want the venue. Well, then they may be addressing their budget more towards those things and compromising their budget, and they'll do less flowers and more candles or something like that. But $50,000 is a lot to work with in throwing a big event. So just because they're asking for cost, just, you know, is helping them determine how to allot their budget based on their priorities, not that they're not willing to spend it.
Well, it's a trust thing also, because if I'm asking someone how much is this going to cost and they're beating around the bush and they're not being transparent about it, it's going to make me feel like, well, do I want to do business with
right.
this person?
Absolutely. And I also think it's a matter of really, again, coming back to being able to remember that most of the time, it's a first-time bride.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge life decision. It's a huge financial decision.
Definitely.
And usually up to this point for a family, it's one of the largest financial decisions they're going to be making. And it's all based on emotion.
Yeah.
Nothing about a
That's
wedding
scary.
Is practical
so scary.
By default.
Yeah.
You know, weddings are not practical events, but they are significant. And
Definitely.
They are milestones. And they are something that if a family has been, you know, they have one girl in their family and they come from a traditional mindset and they're paying for the wedding and they've been saving for the last 25 years of her life, whatever it is, that's probably not the case for most people, but it's angst riding to have to invest in something in a night. It's in one night, and people do it on all scales, and it is something that people dream about, and it is a dream that you're bringing to life, but remembering that dreams excuse me, by nature, are not practical. They're emotional. And that doesn't mean that that can't be fulfilled. It means the opposite to me, that it should be able to be fulfilled.
Definitely.
And, you know, if a wedding vendor can think of themselves, you know, less of a vendor and more of a service provider and more of a wedding professional. And, you know, if you're spending $10,000 with somebody, do you want a vendor or do you want a wedding professional? Do you want someone who's servicing you or just a vendor to show up? So, you know, it branding yourself in those ways creates a difference in attitude in how you approach the bride and how she approaches you. And you're a dream grantor. Essentially, I mean, you're somebody who's taking this vision and this imagination and this creation and bringing it into life and giving this family an experience for them to take with them. And I think to remember that, and your business is going to end up flourishing a lot more than if you are too concerned with the rate.
It sounds like you are a very, very emotionally intelligent person.
Thank you.
Bringing all back around. So how is the Perfect Wedding Bride changing the wedding industry? Because it sounds like you guys are revolutionizing a little bit.
You know, the wedding industry has gone very tech heavy over the last X amount of years, just like everything has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people are getting into texting and they're emailing and they're missing the element of personal connection, going back to these people are investing something large and they're making big decisions. Call them.
Mm-hmm.
Use a phone. And sure, there are brides occasionally that would rather text or rather email. It's a very fast-paced society right now, and the average age of bride and groom is a little bit older. It's closer to 30 than it is to 20 for the first time in a long time. And, you know, people are working and they're spending a lot of hours doing a lot of things other than planning their wedding. And so sometimes those more immediate forms of communication are more effective, but it doesn't mean don't call and check in. You know, you should still remember to call somebody when they book you 12 months out along the way and say, how's your wedding planning going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there anything that you need? Do you have any questions for me? There's, and not just the wedding planner calling to ask those questions. I think there is a strong tendency to get overwhelmed working in your business instead of on your business. And in doing that, service often gets compromised because you're so overwhelmed with all of the different things going on. And like you guys heard today, you have an event tonight. You have an event coming mm-hmm. up. I know Studio Wed has an event tonight. You can go to some sort of networking event
Definitely.
Every night of the week.
Yeah.
But you still need to make appointments with yourself to take the time out to run your business so that it doesn't drop off and you are able to remember to service the bride. Wedding Wire is amazing. They are a technology company in the wedding industry, but they don't have anybody local servicing you. They don't have somebody accessible to you when you say, I can't, you know, you've set me up with all these tools. I don't know how to use them, or I don't know how to make them work for me, or I'm doing them, but they're not working. How do you find somebody to help a wedding professional through that process? And what we're doing in Atlanta and in other markets as well is really evolving in how we assist the customer.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, always coming back to the question, why should they care? Why should a wedding professional care about what I'm saying? Why should they partner with Perfect Wedding Guide? Why should they invest in the types of things that we're doing and positioning ourselves in a place that we're here to really be assisting them in their overall growth? And we have the tools and the resources to assist in that beyond the scope of just being on the internet. You know, in a certain amount of time, Facebook is going to become far less intimate than it is now as our...
Oh, yeah, it's losing users, like...
Exactly. Yeah. As you get up to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 friends, whatever it is, the information being conveyed is going to become less and less personal mm-hmm. And more private. And, you know, handwritten thank you notes, people never receive them anymore. You don't get direct mail in the mail. You don't get things to mm-hmm. put on your refrigerator. People have lost the sense of touch in moving to all of this technology, which, don't get me wrong, we've got our app yeah. and we've got our website and we've got everything,
yeah.
you know, to be able to stay relevant and stay innovative. But I think there's a big portion of going back to emotional intelligence and connecting with the root of the passion. A lot of times getting bombarded by all of this technology, the people who got in this industry in the first place from a passion-driven standpoint are disconnecting from that while they're in it because they're too busy trying trying to get through all of this technology. And if they can come back to, I started shooting weddings because being able to document people's love stories made my world,
yeah.
then that's the thing that they need to be Definitely. Coming back to, and we can connect with them on how to get that conveyed through technology, but not necessarily only technology.
Well, I love that you also can tell that you guys have passionate people that work there and love what they do. It comes across in colors. We're wrapping up. We're running out of time. Tell us more about the events coming up, the different shows this year, and how people can get in contact with you.
Absolutely. We have a networking event on Tuesday, May 21st at the Lofts at Castleberry Hill. We are flying in famed wedding expert Susan Sutherland. She is a writer for HuffPost Weddings, as well as often featured in the New York Times, Martha Stewart Weddings, Wall Street Journal, a lot of other reputable publications. So she will be flying in for one day only to speak at our luncheon on, again, Tuesday, May 21st at the Lofts at Castleberry Hill. And you can register for that luncheon at atlantapwg.com/register. And then also, our Perfect Wedding Guide website is atlanta.perfectweddingguide.com. Both Allison and I are available and accessible to anyone looking to connect with us. We've got the show coming up on September 22nd, which is a Sunday at the Marriott Buckhead, and we will be doing a lot of different promotional marketing between now and then. We've got about 5.5 months, and we are still asking for wedding professionals to partner with us there. Again, we've got Anya sponsoring the bridal show, and we have Sweet Elegance sponsoring the quote-unquote running of the brides, the gown sale we've got going on. I believe Q100 will be there as well. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a great event. I'm Anne.Cohen at pwg.com. We also, our books are in over 400 distribution points, primarily located inside the perimeter. So if you go to any wedding-related store up and down Peachtree or the Bloomingdale's Registry or the Macy's Registry or you places like there. That, you can pick up our books. And as well as we also work registration and have booths at other bridal shows around the state almost every weekend, where we are handing out books, recommending vendors, and really helping to get people's names out there for the needs of the bride. So
I have somebody to recommend to you. You said that you're still looking for people for your event. Well, my friend, Jessica Park, she is incredible. She's very lovable. She can be a great host. And also, what people don't know about Jessica is that she makes desserts. I myself never tried any.
Best
but
dessert
I,
table.
But I saw some of the pictures, and I think she would be a great fit for that environment.
I also saw some of those pictures, and they look amazing.
Call me, and I'll give you her information.
Okay.
Great. So. Thank you. Thanks, Anna.
Well, that was a great show, Jessica.
Yes.
As usual, some great guests today. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Meeting Pros.